Let's face it, creativity isn't equally distributed among human beings. Some of us are more inclined to think outside the box, while others are better at calculus and scientific analysis. Putting these two things together is when innovation flourishes. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're delving into creativity. Where does it thrive? How can we improve environments? And who has the most creativity? The University of Pittsburgh has an orchestra that's made up of mostly science and math majors. Conductor Roger Zahab introduces the orchestra to the audience like this. Meet the next generation of doctors and mathematicians. And I've noticed the same trend in my teaching studios at CMU and Pitt. Most of my elective students are majoring in the sciences. Today, pre-med students are savvy enough to realize music and humanities give them leverage when applying to medical school. Because, let's face it, everyone has a 4.0 average, and they need something to give them an edge. All medical schools want students that are strong in STEM subjects, but they're looking for the creative spark because innovation is half creativity. So speaking of creativity, in its lowest form, it could be word association or free association, and scientists consider it extremely predictable. When individuals are asked to associate the color green, 40% will say grass. Another 40% will say color, or maybe go opposite and say blue or red. That accounts for 80%, and the other 20% are the more creative, like the long tail on the creative spectrum. They come up with words like Ireland, money, or jealousy. But it was also discovered that when you put more creative people in a room brainstorming with the other 80%, it evokes more unusual responses. The creative people infect the 80%. And this is why medical schools are interested in finding the more creative types, so they can inspire the more concrete thinkers. Innovation relies on creativity and the collision of ideas. Collaboration is best in a group of people with different fields because the associations have a richer context. It's also been found that it's good to put a creative person on a jury because they have a more open mind. So I was reading a book recently about a cellist, a work of fiction by a cellist named Mark Saltzman. It's called The Soloist. The protagonist is a cello teacher, a professor who was a child prodigy, who grew up concertizing, but somehow in his early 20s he lost his nerve, becoming obsessed with perfection. So he made a living teaching cello. Anyways, this guy, he got on a murder trial jury, and he was the only member who could envision the defendant could be legally insane. While the other 11 voted, the defendant was in control of all his faculties when he bludgeoned a Buddhist monk to death.
You should have told them, spoiler alert.
Hey everybody, Siri is with me today. Sorry for the spoiler, I still recommend reading the book.
What's the point you're trying to make?
Well, what I was getting at with all this, believe it or not, is the environment in a symphony orchestra is fertile ground for innovation and creativity. And I was getting to a comparison with reefs and atolls.
Sometimes called rainforests of the sea, shallow coral reefs form some of Earth's most diverse ecosystems.
So an orchestra that brings together people of different walks of life, like a community orchestra, is making a habitat for intellectual stimulation on a very high level.
This is a dumb episode. I can't believe you wasted my time this way. Tell me again how an orchestra is like a coral reef?
The musicians in a symphony orchestra depend on each other, like the platforms in any other environment, whether it be an ocean reef, or something technical like the World Wide Web, because the music they make relies on the stability and strength of their musical colleagues. They stand on each other's shoulders. It's a chain that's as strong as the weakest link. A community orchestra is fascinating because it also has platforms that it builds on, and its strength lies in its diversity.
A coral reef can flourish like an oasis in the desert. This has given rise to the ecosystem conundrum, sometimes called Darwin's paradox. How can such high production flourish in such nutrient-poor conditions?
The answer partly lies in what one inhales, the other exhales. So let's say we have a community orchestra of individuals that are longtime instrumentalists, and they meet weekly to play symphonies, and they bring their expertise from their professional fields while leaving it on the sidelines, so to say, but the collision of diversity makes the community orchestra a thriving ecosystem.
The orchestra is an open environment or an open platform.
Yes, a world-renowned orchestra like the Pittsburgh Symphony is like a reef that builds on a system of calcium-strengthened platforms and makes an organism greater than its numbers. Its excellence is derived from synergy and time. But a community orchestra is a different organism. It has a richer, more diverse set of building blocks. It might be doing the same thing as a symphony orchestra, but its value shouldn't be measured exactly the same way.
It's different. It's just as important to the ecology of our civilization. Its excellence is derived from serendipity.
There, you said it.
Serendipity is a common occurrence throughout the history of product invention and scientific discovery. Serendipity is also seen as a potential design principle for online activities that would present a wide array of information and viewpoints.
In other words, as Stephen Johnson points out in his book, Where Great Ideas Come From, serendipity is a really important factor in innovation, especially among people that have multiple focuses in their lives, like a classical musician in a community orchestra who's a college professor. They often have colliding thoughts and ideas that happen randomly that help form new ideas. Johnson calls these environments coffee houses. Open environments where minds network, a hub for intellectual collaboration. The members come to their weekly rehearsals and mingle, talk, and benefit from the expertise of the music director and the principal's second violinist, who's a concert pianist in her professional life. And they go back to their professional jobs and have new ideas and realizations that come out of the collision of ideas, not unlike atoms bumping up against each other, creating new elements. At the concerts, it's a hive of activity, especially at the Katz Auditorium, where the orchestra spills over into the audience on the intermission, and it's a great bustle of connections and conversations, the ultimate coffee house environment.
I'm looking up coffee house and not finding your context.
The term refers to the 18th century coffee houses. Sigmund Freud went to a coffee house at 19 Burgess. And in more modern times, there was a joint called the Home Brewing Computing Club in Silicon Valley. They were hotbeds of innovation, and in their own right, emergent platforms for innovation. It's about cognitive overlap. It occurs in coffee houses, or any place with a physical space that makes people think differently. A place where different kinds of thoughts collide and then recombine.
It's true. Most scientific discoveries result in solving problems it didn't take under consideration when it set out in experimentation. The study of AIDS and other diseases often end up discovering ways to treat different diseases. The discoveries for COVID, cancer, Parkinson's, and other treatments have largely come from the search for cures of other diseases.
And it's not just science. Just the act of teaching a class, the insight of how to connect minds. It's not something we learn in a cubicle. People need to talk to one another. It's the serendipity, the unexpected finding that is the byproduct of the coffee house climate.
Okay, I'm starting to get your drift.
It was nice having you, Siri.
Do you think I'll ever get a mention in your show title, and how about posting my deets in the show notes at acelerando.com?
Well, maybe next time.
I don't understand.
Well, do you have a picture?
I am just a blob.
Yeah, a jellyfish blob. But I'll grant you this, you have name recognition worldwide.
And I'm so famous, I have just one name.
Like Cher.
And Madonna.
And Galileo.
And Midori.
All right, Siri, the very famous and well-known voice of the internet. Thank you for helping us out this week. A pleasure to have you.
Happy to help. Do you mind if I do the closing?
Go ahead.
That's it for this week. Remember to support your community orchestras. They're a thriving part of our cultural ecosystem, and you will be a member of a robust and burgeoning society made up of some very interesting and multi-talented people.
Can't go wrong with that.
Have a great week. See you next time.